We'll see how this goes. So today, as we know, is the Day of Atonement. You know, that's why we're all here in the middle of the week, while everyone else is out doing something else. So on this day, we're commanded to afflict our souls. And when we read in Scripture, and you can just write this down for reference if you want, we're not going to turn there, but you read in Scripture Isaiah 58, verse 3, we see that to afflict our souls is to deny ourselves, to fast. It's to fast. You know, and I have no water up here, and I didn't have breakfast, so we're probably on track with that. So we'll go ahead and begin by looking at the command for this holy day. Of course, we know this is in Leviticus chapter 23, so we'll go ahead and turn there if you'd like. Probably have it memorized, but we'll turn there. Turn there anyway. Leviticus chapter 23. And we'll be reading verses 26 through 27. And I have the English Standard Version with me today. So Leviticus 23, verses 26 and 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Some versions say a burnt offering, and it kind of goes back and forth there. So the 10th day of the 7th month. So, check. We've got that one, right? We follow that calendar. A holy convocation. Well, if you look around, we're convocating, right? We're gathered together. We're assembled together. So we have that one. So we can put a check mark by that one also. Afflicting ourselves. Or fasting. We can put a check mark by that one also, because I'm sure everyone's belly's growling a little bit this morning. So we have those, right? So far, so good. We're doing all right. We're fulfilling this command, you know, pretty well. We're doing a pretty good job of it. But brethren, why do we fast? Why do we fast? Why don't we just deny ourselves by not watching our favorite TV show or not eating that extra piece of cake or not going to the movies or not doing, you know, something fun that we want to do? Do we really need to go hungry or thirsty to deny ourselves? Is there something about denying ourselves food and drink that causes this to be the proper way to afflict our souls in God's sight? Well, we're going to answer these questions. We're going to take a look into Scripture and see what makes denying ourselves food and water of nourishment through fasting the proper way to afflict our souls on the Day of Atonement. We're going to take a look at that. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, we'll just look at a short passage here, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So as we see here, it's necessary for us to deny ourselves in order to truly surrender to the will of God, to deny ourselves in order to follow Christ. You know, we mustn't focus, or we mustn't be focused on the physical desires or the physical needs of the world around us in order to save our lives. And of course, this is speaking spiritually. You know, if we are, we'll lose that spiritual connection to God, and we can lose our spiritual lives. That's what Christ is saying here. He's talking spiritually about about focusing on him, focusing on Christ himself, and focusing on God, and not necessarily the physical things around us. This isn't necessarily a fasting scripture, but it's a scripture of denying self. Christ is telling us in this short passage that turning our focus from self and our focus on God will inevitably save our spiritual lives. The parallel to this, how it relates to fasting, the parallel to this is that, you know, we consume food and water to preserve our life, to preserve our physical lives. When we fast, when we turn to fasting and turn to God, we put that responsibility, or we give that responsibility back to God. We say, God, you know, we know that we're in your hands and you have to sustain us. So we take that focus off of ourselves. So this passage, this short passage, confirms that we must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves in some manner to grow closer to God. But now if we move back a couple verses from this point, from Matthew 16, or in Matthew 16, if we move back a couple verses to verse 23, we'll kind of look a little deeper into this analogy of denying the physical. So Matthew 16, verse 23. But he, of course speaking of Christ, turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance or a stumbling block to me. For you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." So Christ here is rebuking Peter for Peter's focus on the physical. You know, his neglect for the spiritual element that was going on around him. Peter was not setting his mind on the things of God. He was not focusing on Christ and what Christ was doing. He wasn't denying the physical. Peter had the audacity to turn and rebuke Christ, if you know the context of this, to rebuke Christ when Christ foretold of his own death, because he was thinking solely of the physical. He was not thinking of the plan of God and Christ's role in that plan. Peter was being selfish and expecting Christ to remain safe. I don't know if he thought that would just he would just be safe forever, or if he'd be safe and Christ would fulfill his plan there at that time. You know, whatever his thoughts were, he was being selfish and focused on Christ physically being there and not being mindful of the will of God and what God had planned for Christ and for us all. And when we deny ourselves and afflict our souls, we need to do so in a manner that separates us from that selfish mind, that Peter had on the physical. And we need to be more mindful of God's plan and the bigger picture that God is placing before us. You know, Peter was failing to see that. You know, the Catholic Church and, you know, various other similar religions observe what is known as Lent. And I don't know why I always remember this, but I just, when I think of Lent, I think of Lent. Like, I reach my pocket and I pull out a piece of Lent, and that always helps me remember the name of this. I don't know why, but I'm like, why are they, what's their deal with Lent? I don't understand, but they call it Lent. Now, Lent is an observance in which people deny themselves, right? They deny themselves of something in order, in theory, according to their theory, to gain blessings from God. That's why they do it. You know, these denials of self, of their physical, usually consist of something like they deny themselves chocolate for 30 days, or they deny themselves caffeine, or eating candy, or things like that. I know one of the big denials for Lent is to agree to not lie for the 30 days. I have to think about that. Like, so God appreciates when you don't lie for 30 days, which I'm sure he does, but what about the 31st day? You know, when you go back to lying? I don't know. I think they're missing the bigger picture there, but that's one of the things they deny. They deny themselves small physical things that don't really affect them all that much, that don't really dig into the spiritual. These shallow efforts of denial focus solely on physical denial and usually have absolutely no spiritual basis whatsoever. You know, it's just something like, yeah, I think I can do without some chocolate for a few days, so I'll pick that. Or, you know, it's just all very superficial and very physical. You know, we could deny ourselves of physical pleasures other than food and drink, but that still keeps our mind focused on that physical. It's only when we surrender those things of ourselves, even the very things that sustain our physical life, that we can truly place our mind on the things of God. When we empty our minds of ourselves, when we empty our minds of the physical, of everything that we're focused on ourselves, then we open up so much more room for God. Fasting allows God to see that we're willing to take our minds off of even our most necessary things, our physical sustainment, you know, in order to draw closer to Him. And of course, that's what He wants. So, brethren, we just like Peter was at this time, you know, we can be a hindrance. We can be a hindrance or enemies of God when we put the physical desires before God. All right. Let's turn to another scripture, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many of whom I have told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. So that's exactly what we're talking about, minds set on earthly things. Their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. So in other words, their God is their physical desires, their physical, you know, the things around them. And their shame is their selfishness and their separation from God. If our God is our belly, our minds on our own satisfaction, our minds set on the earthly things around us, then we are, as the scripture states, enemies of Christ and His sacrifice for us. Our minds can't be on that. Our minds have to be on God, and that's where fasting comes in into play on this day. You know, this is another reason why fasting is so important for our spiritual well-being. We literally deny our bellies, right? We deny that physical tie to what's going on around us. We place our Father in heaven above our corporal need to fill our stomachs with food and drink. Fasting places our minds completely on the things of God and takes it off of self. You know, that's the purpose of fasting. You know, Christ Himself knew the importance of fasting as a key to empty oneself, to draw closer to God. And we see a reference for this, an exact reference for this, in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verses 1, we'll just go verses 1 through 4. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. I'm sure that's probably an understatement. He was hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Christ knew that His mind had to be in unison with the mind of God in order for Him to sustain the bombardment that He knew was about to come from Satan. You know, even as the Son of God, Christ was flesh at this time. At this moment, Christ was flesh, and he was subject to the physical needs that all of us are, the physical needs of food and water. Yet he fasted for 40 days, ensuring that his mind was set on the things of God, and of course not desires of flesh, which he wouldn't allow to overtake him anyway, but he was flesh. He needed food and water to sustain flesh, yet he fasted 40 days to draw closer to God. Christ physically weakened himself in order to become spiritually stronger. That's very important to know, to remember. Now notice how cunning Satan is at this time. You know, Satan's first attempt to sway Christ was with food. You know, Satan went straight for the thing that dictates our physical existence. You know, the main physical need. You know, food. You know, Satan could have said anything. He could have said, you know, turn these rocks into blankets to comfort you, or turn this stone into a donkey so you can ride out. You know, he could have picked anything. He picked food because Christ had just fasted 40 days. He knew that was something that was physically needed. But of course, we know Christ, and we know Christ made the right decision. Christ set that example for us by showing us that the physical is never more important than the spiritual. So as we see, to afflict our souls, to deny ourselves, is much more than just abstaining from a few physical desires, like some of the other religions do. It's much more important. To afflict our souls is to set our mind on the things of God and off the earthly things that lead us away from God. You know, if we fill our bellies with our shallow desires, then it leaves no room for God to fill us. So, brethren, on this Day of Atonement, we're commanded to afflict our souls, to deny ourselves. This is not something that can be done by just tossing aside a few physical things here and there for a few days or picking the easiest things. This is something that has to be done by fully denying what sustains our absolute existence. Denying self can only be accomplished by completely emptying ourselves of not only the minor things, but the most important things for a physical need. And also by filling ourselves with the things of God. You know, God's Holy Spirit, God's Holy Word, congregating with God's people. So as we sit here on the Day of Atonement with our empty bellies, let's do our best to make sure that we're also filling ourselves with the things of God.